Well, it's always an honor and a blessing to share God's word, especially when it's about all that he gives and has for us. For those of you who are not here tonight, I've got a verse of scripture on our screen, on our big screen TV, and it's out of the NLT, but you'll find it also in King James and others. And it reads this, because tonight what I'm going to share is going to be a little bit about us spring our house cleaning, our vocabulary. Not that we all do this, but from time to time we do. And I know I hear this every day at work in different ways, and you'll see in a moment. But what it says, this verse says, we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. Proverbs 16:33. I thought that was pretty neat. And I'll get into what that means in the biblical usage in other places, so you'll know whenever you read this. The title of the sharing, I simply said, it's the world's concepts versus God's promises. The world's concepts versus God's promises. And these are what the world wants us to rely on, what I'm about to mention. There's a list. And so you have things like luck. How many of you heard of, hey, good luck? It's either good luck or bad luck, but either way, leave that in Vegas. 50-50, or it's a toss-up. Or if you can look in your Bible, I want you to go, I'm going to read the NLT, most of the verses that we look at. Go to Proverbs 18:18, please. Show you something. Proverbs 18:18. And again, we know that we can count, absolutely count, on what God tells us. But he puts in his word what man's ideas can be from time to time, and they're not very good. Anyway, this is taking place over a dispute in a courtroom, and it gets down to verse 18, and it says, flipping a coin can end arguments. It settles disputes between powerful opponents. So do we make and base our decisions in life on the flipping of a coin? Let me hear a loud no. No. Do we make our decisions by listening to what someone tells about the karma we have around us? Absolutely not. That you will not find in God's word. So, another verse I want you to go to, and this is the record, one of the records of Jonah. And God, what we're going to see in these verses, gives him specific instructions. Not hard to understand, but let's see what Jonah decided to do. So Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1, please, as I go there with you. Jonah 1, 1, we'll start there. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Okay, there's the first but right here. But Jonah, but Jonah got up and went in the what? Opposite direction. Not where God told him to go, but the opposite direction. To get away from the Lord. Can you hide from the Lord? Did Adam and Eve hide from the Lord? No, no, you know, I don't care how many fig leaves you put on, he's still going to see you. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship living for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. Here you go again. By sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. So it must have been pretty bad. Now, I want you to go down to verse 7. Now, remember, he's boarding the ship, and there's a crew on there, and this is what happens. Then the crew cast lots. There's different ways of doing that. It's basically like throwing dice, or let's see what the cards say. They put paper in a big jug or a can or whatever, and there's one piece of paper that's different than all the others. Whoever draws that is the guilty party, or is the one who's going to have to do whatever it is they have to do. In this case, listen to what it says. They cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lot identified Jonah as the culprit. So here you see that again, they were leaving this to what they call chance. They said, you know what, let's be fair and square about this. We're going to roll the dice and see who exactly is to blame. The world's other concepts include such things as fate, fluke, karma, happenstance, okay? Just to name a few of the world's hit and miss promises, because that's all they are, hit and miss promises. These words are not part of God's vocabulary. I'm sure you know that. You have never read in his word, my dear sons and daughters, I'm sending you good karma for this week. He don't do that. He doesn't do that. He sends us love, power, strength, healing, and all the other good stuff, all the other promises. And so it's not part of his vocabulary, nor should it be of ours. I'm not going to lie to you. I have said in the past to someone, hey, good luck, you know. But now they say it to me and say, ah, it's not about good luck. It's that I'm blessed. Someone sent me a picture on the text, and it said in bold letters, and I think I know who it was. But anyway, it said, I am lucky and blessed. Really? I am lucky and blessed. But that's the world we live in. They don't know whether they're coming and going because they're not putting their head and their hearts in God's word. What is for certain is that there are declarations found in God's word, okay? And I can absolutely, and we can absolutely trust and rely on them. They're the promises of God. They come in all shapes and sizes, but if it's God's word, you can count on them. You can take them to the bank. Removing the world's slogans should be a part of our cleaning house. It should be a part of our cleaning house. I'm sorry I can't see you guys back here, but I'm talking to you too. When it comes to our communication, it should be. Having lucky charms, such as a lucky number. How many grew up had a lucky number? I did. But now that number is good. It was lucky then, but now I like it because what it means is number 7. Or some athletes wear the same clothing items over and over again for good luck. Mm-hmm. Believe me, they do. They'll have, like in the World Series, 3 of the games. One team, there will be a player on there, he won't change his socks for 3 games because he feels it's unlucky to do that. Really? So doing this, again, is for good luck in as much as an idol or as someone burning incense and praying to a piece of wood. That's about what it adds up to, okay? Remember, we don't need luck. We've got God on our side and where? In us. In us, in us, in us. How about we look at some of the Father's usage of words meant for you and I, which are absolutes, absolutes. If God says it, that settles it, okay? It's up to us to rise up with our believing, to believe in them and rely and trust on them. So I want you first to go to James 1:17, please. James 1 and verse 17. You're familiar with this verse, but it's a promise. It's an absolute. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. God isn't a 50-50 call. God isn't throwing dice. Sit up. He's for me today. God isn't, let me see the cards you were dealt. No, it doesn't. It said there's no variableness. God trumps all those things every time. Neither shadow of turning. Isn't that a very comforting thought to have, knowing that our Heavenly Father, the very creators of the heaven and earth, that's his M.O. In Strong's, it says about the first usage of the word gift in this verse is the act of giving. So you know there is a difference. And the second gift is the gift itself. And that's what God gives us. He's the giver. He gives us gifts. We're to enjoy them. It's not about not being able to count on the Father, for he is our sureness. God is our sureness. Look at Hebrews 11:1, please. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So with the faith, it's not about we're relying on one of us, because we can be fickle at times, but it's having the faith that God will do what he says he'll do, or God can do what he says he can do, because he's the God of the possible. See, again, it's not good luck. It's none of that stuff. It's not karma. It's not a toss-up. With God, it's a sure thing. But how sure are we with our faith going to the Father? See, that's a big determining factor, along, of course, with your desire. All too many times, when things don't happen when we think they should happen, we start second-guessing God, and that's not what we do, all right? The world's vocabulary is beneath the words of God. Amen?
Amen.
As we exercise our believing, it's not about luck. It's about our believing in the truth of God's word. Do we believe in man's uncertainty or God's certainty? The second, we believe in God's certainty. Man can have good intentions. He can say, no, just roll the dice one more time and it'll be in your favor. No, it's the certainty of the Father. Look at Mark 11:24. You're familiar with this verse also, but I want you to look at Mark 11:24. Jesus speaking. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you, there's that word again, desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Because again, we're praying to who? God Almighty. You think the God who created the heavens and the earth and named every star out there cannot help you get over a cold or cannot help you with a job you're in? Absolutely. Where is your believing, though? That's the issue. Where is your believing? It's not on any kind of circumstantial thing, but it's about the truth. It's what our hearts believe and trust in that brings us joy and peace that the Father gives, because that's what he does. It's not what's in the cards, but what's in his word. Thank you. Now turn to Psalm 34:4. Psalm 34 and verse 4. It says, speaking of praying and praying for sure things, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. Okay? He freed me from all my fears. And we need that. We really need that. Fears can include the 50-50s. Or the world's so-called karma. That scares people when they realize that their life is, you know, 50-50, can be one way or the other, or I've got good karma or bad karma. Stop it, stop it, stop it. House clean, and put on God's words of sureness, of certainty. See? Now, how powerful are God's promises and the promises of God's words? Well, for starters, let's look at Romans 15:13, please. Romans 15 and verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because what? You trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power we get from the Father. It's not like God saying, man, I sure hope I have enough in my account to give my son or daughter for the need that they have. He absolutely has the power, and he wants us to enjoy that. Again, it's a certainty. It's a sure thing. Talking about his unmatched strength, what are we claiming? You and I, what are we claiming? We're not doing stuff happenstance. What are we claiming? Go to Psalm 73:26, please. Psalm 73:26. And this is true of all of us, but nonetheless, let's read this. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength. But God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine for a couple of years until I reach 80 years old. No, forever, forever, forever. You don't have to look into a crystal ball. You look into the Bible. It's crystal clear. And God is there for us forever. So that's why we need not be anxious for anything, be nervous, or have any kind of fears, because God's there forever. His light on, he leaves it on 24/7. He's always there. It's up to us to reach out to him and say, Father, I need to talk to you. Can we have confidence placing our faith, believing that God will provide? Yeah. Well, I simply say, I bet on God. But you said you don't gamble. It's not about luck. Hold on. You know me, bet. I turn that into an acronym. Okay. When I say I bet on God, it means believing on everlasting truth. That's a bet. Believing on everlasting truth. Go to Luke 1:37, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke 1 and verse 37. In case you're wondering and you haven't read the fine print, this is what you're going to find. For nothing is impossible with God. Okay? Going to Vegas, you think those casinos are put up by them taking out loans? No, it's just people that want to throw the dice. They want to do the 50-50. They say, I'm going to Vegas. I got good karma. I want to buy a lottery ticket. That's why Vegas wins so much more with the losers than the winners. You see? I'm not a betting man. I've never been to Vegas to bet. I've been to do other things. But, that's what keeps them in business, is people betting on chances. And what we have with the Father is not betting on chances. It's believing on the sure thing. A big part of our believing is not to have doubt mixed with it. And unfortunately, that comes along with people who think, man, I've been praying about this for a month now and nothing's happened. Then they start doubting themselves or doubting their believing. Don't mix that with your believing, because it's just going to bring that down. It's like drinking a real, real good glass of whatever and just pouring water and water in it before it's, what is this I'm drinking? So don't mix your doubt with your believing. Look at, now here's the bigger part of the record of a verse we just read. Mark 11, starting in verse 22. Mark 11, 22. Yeah. It's easy to get swayed by the world and them saying and pointing the finger, I told you that wasn't good, I told you so. You know, but it's not about that. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in who? God. That's not a hard thing. It's a do thing, right? I tell you the truth. What else is Jesus going to say? You can say this to the mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have, again, no doubt in your heart. And then in verse 24, we just read this. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. You're not looking at the dealer saying, come on. No, you're looking at the Father, knowing that his promises and truths are there for the asking. We stand firm on God's words to the point that God answers our prayers and asking him for guidance in our days. We know that the world is using its lies to justify its hyperbole, its empty exaggerations, in other words, whereas his word declares the truth and promises, as in Titus 1:1, please. Okay, this letter is from Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen, like you and I, and to teach them to know the what? Truth. The truth that shows them how to live godly lives. Verse 2. This truth gives them confidence. That's what we put our confidence in God's truths, in God's promises, not the world trying to shake your tree by saying this and that and get you to buy into it. That they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. So he had his promises already before you were even born, but knew that you would be where you are today and that you would believe in those promises. Do we believe that? We're living a life of chance or a life of purpose? Thank you. Thank you. I didn't even have to ask you. Is it let the chips fall where they may, or life is the flip of a coin? No. No. No, our lives are placing our trust in the Lord and his will for our lives. That's what God wants. He has something for you to do that only you can do. I can point the finger at anyone in this room, and it's something that God has for that person that is able. So let's close in Psalms 100, verse 5. There's so much more that I'm not sharing with you because there's a plethora of promises that God gives us, but there's also in his word, for lack of another way to put it, warnings of don't fall into that, what that person, worldly person, is saying, because it's only going to bring you down or let you down or shift your attention from a sure thing to a not so sure thing. It's going to become your idol, see? We can't do that. We can't do that. So verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues for how long?
Forever.
Thank you. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. So far, it's reached our generation. And if Jesus Christ tarries, it's going to reach tomorrow's generation. So, it's not about the unpredictability, there's a lot of letters in that word, of the world, but the assurance of the Almighty God. Let's honor God with our words of trusting in him, not in uncertainties. If people say, you're a religious nut for not using good luck, just say, I hope all goes well with you. Or, God bless you. Don't get in a debate. Don't try and take God's back. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't need you to speak for him as far as, hey, but just say God bless you, or just simply say, I hope all goes well with you. So I'm going to close with a prayer, and I trust that this kind of gives you some food for thought. And the verses we looked at, you can look at the context if you'd like, but I was getting to the point they were making. And gracious Abba Father, I thank you for the certainties we have with you, that it's not a 50-50 or a toss of a coin or anything like that, Father. With you, we know that we can rely on you because you are not a man that should lie, Father, and you never turn your back on us. So with these truths in our hearts, Father, it brings great peace and assurance to us as we step out looking to you to be our sufficiency, to be our provider, but at the same time, to do your will, Father, and help others to come to this truth, others to come to this reality, so that they too can get out of the rat race or the lies of the world. Boy, the world sure paints it with pretty colors, but put them to the wash and they're still a lie. With you, Father, you are always giving us your truth, your word, and the healing that comes from that. So I just thank you in that wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, the one who made it available to us, Father, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.